today we're going to look at traditional discipline. And what I mean by traditional is that it's the kind of discipline that requires negative consequences, or that old-fashioned word, punishment. However, we're going to do this traditional form of discipline in an untraditional way, using something that I call the two times rule. The two times rule is designed to help you stay away from anger. Because we've looked at before, anger is a very harmful emotion when expressed in parenting. It's something that we all will feel when we're raising our children, because we will get frustrated and irritated and impatient. But anger is our feeling. It's not a teaching tool. A lot of parents try to use it as a teaching tool, where they, you know, yell at their kids to make them do something. But all they accomplish then is they harm the parent-child relationship, and thereby harm their teaching power. And people don't really respond well to negative interventions like that. You can get a child to stop doing a particular behavior right this minute if you yell at him. And in fact, a lot of parents use something that they call, or I call, the 10 times rule, which is, you know, they'll tell the child, okay, it's time to turn off the computer, and they come back and the child is still on the computer, so they say it again. Come on, guys, turn off the computer now. And a few minutes later, they see the child is still on the computer. So they say it again. Will you guys turn off the computer? And this time their voice is getting a little bit more irritated. And they say it again. And this could go on for a while until they blow up. They say, get off that computer! How many times? And they start yelling and screaming and having a fit. And now the child indeed listens and gets off the computer. So in this case, we've taught the child to ignore us when we're reasonable and polite and calm, and to respond to us when we're hysterical nutcases, which is not a good lesson. And we've taught the child to be deaf to a normal, pleasant tone of voice. And the child has taught us to become a nutcase, because all that seems to work is this yelling thing. Now, it would be humorous, except that yelling really harms children. It's a toxic kind of communication. Nobody wants to be yelled at. You don't like it if somebody yells at you. And your children not only don't like it, but they suffer tremendous feelings of low self-esteem and worthlessness and all kinds of... To them, it looks like you hate them. When you yell at a child, your angry face looks like, I hate you. Now, that may not be what you mean at all. It may be just, you know, I'm so frustrated. I've asked you 14 times to get off this computer. And all you mean is, I'm frustrated. But the look on your face says to a child, I hate you. You can test that by having somebody, tape you, video you, put the camera on you while you're yelling, and then blow that up rather large so you can take a look at it. And you'll see why I'm saying this. The angry face is really a horrible, frightening face, especially to your child, who's so much smaller and so dependent on you. And even if your child is bigger than you, your angry face, because the child is so dependent emotionally on you, is still very rejecting and very harmful. So we want to stay away from anger by using the two times rule. The two times rule says never ask anything more than twice, because, you know, most of us can hold it together for two times. We can say, could you please get off the computer? And then if the child doesn't get off, we're able to usually maintain our dignity and our sanity and everything else on the second time and say, I did ask you to get off the computer. Would you please get off it now? If you're not off it by the time I count to five, or by the time I come here next time, such and such will happen to you. See, on that second time, instead of just repeating ourselves in a kind of helpless way, we're going to step in and mention a possible consequence. Now, this consequence is going to be delivered the way a policeman delivers a ticket to you. If you were speeding, the policeman just calls you over, quietly writes out something and hands it to you on a piece of paper, and drives off. He tells him, I tell you to have a nice day. He doesn't yell at you. He doesn't threaten you. He doesn't give you big lectures about how dangerous your driving was. Nothing. He just gives you this little piece of paper. That ticket is your negative consequence. You might say, why pay that ticket? Now the policeman's gone. I mean, you know, just throw it out the window. But you know that is the policeman's opening move. If you don't pay that ticket, the price will go up and up, and eventually you could go to jail for not paying your tickets. So when we're going to use discipline with kids, we want to think in a two-tiered way, tickets and jail. tickets and jail. And that will help us to keep our cool, because really, you know, we're going to offer the child a negative consequence, and we're not going to worry about whether or not he cooperates with it. We want to maintain the power on our side so that we don't get mad. You know, anger will harm a child, but a negative consequence, like losing a privilege or, you know, I don't know, whatever negative... There's a bunch of negative consequences we can use, which I'll give you some examples of, but none of them can damage a child psychologically, whereas our anger certainly will do that. So back to our two times rule. We said to the child, would you please turn off the computer and come back a few minutes later, and the child's still on the computer. So we say, I asked you to turn off the computer. If it's not off, by the time I come back here next time, in 5 minutes, then there won't be any computer at all tomorrow night. Okay, so let's say we've picked out that consequence. We come back a few minutes later, and the computer is still on, and the child starts saying, oh, I'm just shutting it down now. I'm just in the middle of shutting it down. And it's very important for you to say, I'm sorry, but I told you it needed to be off by the time I came back, and therefore there's no computer tomorrow night. And the child will put up a protest. No, I'm turning it off. Look, it's off. You know, and the thing's going down now. And, that's not fair. You didn't give me a chance. And he's, debating whatever. But he's not too worried, because he figures by tomorrow night he'll soften you up and he'll get back on the computer. Now, it's essential for the two times rule to work for you to stick with the consequences that you mention. Therefore, do not mention a consequence that you can't live with. All right, so you don't want to say, you know what, if you don't turn that stupid computer off right now, then you're not going to have it for a year. All right, so now you know that that's not going to happen, and the child knows that that's not going to happen, and therefore you'll be backing down on your consequences. Only mention a ticket that you can live with. Let's go back to our policeman scenario. You know, you were speeding along, and the policeman gave you a ticket, and, let's say you were really annoyed with him for doing that. So you ripped up the ticket, and you spit in the guy's face, and you called him a few nasty names, and you said, like, don't give me a ticket, I'm not going to put up with this, and you yelled at him, and you kicked him in the shins or whatever. What would happen to you? Well, you'd be sent to jail, because you, as a citizen of this country, are not allowed to defy the authority system. If you give your child a ticket, so to speak, a negative consequence, and he starts getting abusive to you, whether that child is 3 years old or 13 years old, that child is not allowed to do that any more than you're allowed to be abusive to the police person. In fact, anything that you cannot say or do to a police officer, your child should not be saying or doing to you. So if you're not allowed to swear at a police officer, not allowed to call him bad names, not allowed to touch him, not allowed to threaten him, etc., then the child, your child, is not allowed to do any of that to you. And if the child tries it, he needs to know that he could go to jail. This will not be a ticket-level misbehavior. Now, the difference between jail as a negative consequence and a ticket as a negative consequence is enormous. A ticket would be annoying to a child. Just annoying, okay? So let's say the child did lose computer tomorrow night. Well, that's frustrating, you know? But a jail-level consequence is more than frustrating. If a child cries when you give him a ticket, that's more for show than anything else, you know? But if a child cries because you gave him a jail-level consequence, you're on the right track, because you want that jail-level consequence to be a lesson that only has to happen once to the child. It's preferable that a child doesn't get that kind of consequence more than once or twice every 10 years, if that. So you're looking for something that he will definitely remember. A child, for a ticket, could lose computer for an evening. But for a jail, for a particular child who lives on that computer, who can't live without it, a jail might be 3 nights away from computer, or a week away from computer, or a month away from computer. You have to know your customer. But most tickets are going to be no longer than 24 hours in length, whatever they are. If it's a removal of a possession or a removal of a privilege, it's not going to be longer than one day. And it could be as little as for 5 minutes or so. So it depends. You're looking for something that's worth like a $100 ticket to your child. You don't want it to be too cheap, because a $25 ticket doesn't change our behavior. We need a $100 ticket. So you're looking for something that will get the child's attention by being pretty annoying, but just annoying, like the child having to go to bed a bit earlier, or the child not being allowed to have a friend over, though you wouldn't cancel any arrangements that were already made, because we don't punish other people's children, right? But we say, okay, tomorrow you won't be having a play date. The child could lose a snack, you know, that they usually get in the afternoon or something, or a dessert for dinner. You know, something that will be, yeah, that might be annoying, but we're only losing one. And unless the child is really addicted to sugar, then it's going to be a ticket level consequence. If the child is truly a sugar addict, that could be a jail level consequence, and we could actually use it only for jail rather than using it as a ticket. So there are tickets called removals of possessions, removals of privileges, removal of snack foods like junk food. We're not going to take away anybody's bread and butter or veggie burger or meat and potatoes. There's time out there's something called renewal time, which is not a negative consequence really. That's just sending a child to her room to calm down, and she can come out whenever she wants. That's not a ticket at all. But a constrained timeout, where a small child goes to a thinking chair, or a child who's a little bit older goes and stands against a wall, never when you have guests in the house, but just to be bored by looking at the wall for the number of minutes of her age. So that could be used, for example, for kids who fight with each other, and you make a rule that, well, who's ever fighting is going to go stand against the wall for a few minutes, and then they come out. That usually stops fighting behaviors within a day or two, because it's very boring for a child to go stand and look at a wall for a few minutes. And a six-year-old can look at a wall for 4 minutes or 5 minutes or 6 minutes, all the way up to 8 minutes. But you start off at four. The rule is the number of minutes of the child's age plus or minus 2 minutes. The question you might be having is, how would you get a child to go stand against the wall for 4 or 5 minutes? And the answer to that is the same as we said before about the ticket. Why did you pay the ticket? Because if you don't pay your ticket, you'll go to jail. So if the child doesn't go stand against the wall when you send her to go stand against the wall, you'll just tell her, well, that's fine. You know, I'll count to five. And if you're not standing against the wall by the time I say the number five, then you can forget the wall. That's not going to be an option anymore. And instead, such and such jail level consequence will happen. Now, I'm saying here such and such jail level because you'll have to find the thing that would be absolutely horrendous to this child, such that she would realize it would have been a better deal to go stand against the wall for 5 minutes. So if the child is a sugar addict, you can say to her, that's fine, so, you know, don't stand against the wall. You won't be having any of the chocolate sprinkled donuts that we're having for dinner tonight. And if this kid really cares about that kind of thing, then that'll be a good jail-level consequence. So, you know, she says, I don't care at that time. And we never worry about them saying, I don't care, because the proof will be in the pudding, so to speak. We'll see how their behavior changes or doesn't change. So, you know, come dinner time, we hand out the chocolate sprinkled donuts to everybody except the kid who didn't stand in the corner, and or against the wall, wherever we sent her. And, you know, they're all eating the donuts and going, are these good? These are great, right? And the child who didn't go stand against the wall starts asking for her donut, could she please have one? And we say, well, I'm sorry, but you didn't stand against the wall earlier today when I sent you there. And she says, okay, I'll go now. And you'll say, no, I'm sorry, it's too late. And you keep eating your donut, and these are really good, and enjoying your donut. And, you know, that child will probably throw a huge fit at that point, which is fine, because if it's a jail-level punishment, you know, let her throw a huge fit, because we want her to be very, very upset. Hopefully she will realize the next time that she is sent to go to the wall that it is smarter to go to the wall, than because otherwise she might lose something like her donut, which she really cares about. And for other kids, it won't be a snack food. It might be computer privileges. It might be, you know, the ability to go out in the evening or to use their bicycle or who knows what. You have to save something special for jail. Or the family's going on an outing and this kid isn't going to come along. Something, you know, that will be hard for the child to deal with. And you only want to have to use such a negative consequence, like I said, once or twice in 10 years. And no matter how hard it is for the child to deal with, it will not be as harmful as your anger. In fact, it will be annoying to the child and upsetting to the child, but nowhere near what your angry voice, your angry face, and your angry words would have been for the child. I mean, anger is very rejecting. If the kid loses her computer for a while, well, you know, that's frustrating, but it's not at all psychologically damaging. So in the structure of the two times rule, what we do is we ask a child to do something, or we make a rule in the household. For example, there's no name calling. And then, you know, we say that would be the first time that we say, we're making the rule, we say, don't do this because of this, we do this instead. Okay, don't call names because it hurts people's feelings. Just explain to people what you want. Okay? Speak nicely. So, you know, a few minutes after we say that, somebody will call somebody a name, and we'll reiterate the rule. We'll say, we don't call names. I told you before, we don't call names because it hurts people's feelings, and everybody is allowed to live safely and happily in this house. If you have a problem with the person, just explain what you want using regular words. And then you'll add, on this second occasion, your threat of a future consequence. It's really a choice, right? You'll say, from now on, whenever anybody calls anybody names, such and such consequence will happen. And you will name the consequence you've picked. So if your children are old enough, you might tell them, you know, from now on, when you call names, you'll have to write out, some lines explaining why you don't, why we should speak nicely to each other. You have to write an essay, or you have to write some lines. Another possible negative consequence is you'll have to say 10 nice things about the person. I mean, you can refer to my book, Raise Your Kids Without Raising Your Voice, for a detailed list of consequences to choose from. But for now, let's just say you've picked some consequence. And a few minutes later, somebody calls somebody a name. So here we are on the third round of, you said it once, you said it again with a warning, and now somebody called a name. And just like the police officer, you quietly hand out that ticket, and you just say, oh, I'm sorry, you'll have to write out your lines now. Now, this is the ticket. If the child, you give them a deadline, I need those lines before dinner, or I need them by 5 o'clock, or I need them by 7 o'clock, whatever, give a deadline for them. If you don't see the lines even being prepared, nothing's happening, a few minutes before they're due, you can then come up to the child and say, I just want to remind you, if I don't get those lines by the time we agreed on, which was, 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock, you can forget the lines. And instead, such and such jail level consequence will happen. And you'll mention something else that will be much more intense, intensely negative to the child than the lines. So that's what would happen. But usually, after a child has had one experience of jail, they will pay their tickets. And usually, once they're trained to pay their tickets, which takes about a month to, the child has to go through the exercise of receiving a ticket and paying a ticket a few times over, after that, your threats that there will be a ticket will be sufficient to change the child's behavior. And you will find after that first month that you actually don't have to punish your children. They may go for years with never receiving a punishment because now they believe that the punishment will happen, and they won't put themselves through that exercise. So using the two times rule, you'll find that the first month, yes, the children will actually receive negative consequences, but after that, you will use step one, which is, asking them for something or making a rule, and step two, which is reiterating what you said and adding a threat of a consequence. You're going to use step one and step two, but you will hardly ever need to use step three throughout, the next number of years. So your discipline becomes very quiet in your house and very effective. Now the two times rule is very powerful and it must not be overused. All things that we do in parenting must fit into the 80-20 rule or the 90-10 rule for teenagers, which is that 80% or 90% of our communications need to feel good to the child, and only 20% for kids under the age of 12 and 10% for kids over the age of 12 can feel unpleasant. Obviously, the two times rule feels unpleasant. It is a threat and it's a punishment. It's a bad feeling intervention. It has to be used a little bit in parenting. Do not overuse it. Used in small doses, it can be very, very powerful. So limit it, even though you're going to get all excited and find, here's a technique that really works, limit it, okay? Use it only rarely. for most of your discipline, you'll want to be using the CLEAR method, comment, label, reward, which uses good feeling techniques to help gain a child's cooperation and move them in the right direction.